This is RÚV English Radio with Darren Adam, daily English language radio from Iceland's national broadcaster, RÚV.
Hello, it's RÚV English Radio. My name's Darren Adam. Thanks very much for your company today. I am in, or at least very near, the town of Egilsstaðir in East Iceland. I'm at Vík Baths, the spa, if you like, which serves an increasing number of visitors here in East Iceland. Looking out over the spa and looking out over the lake as well, of which more later. I'm with the CEO of Vík, that's Kristin Drup Halsdóttir. Welcome to RÚV English Radio.
Thank you very much.
Each of the spas, each of the big sort of tourist spas around Iceland, if it's the, you know, the Blue Lagoon or if it's GOC in Húsavík or whether it's Mývatn, they all have their own sort of special attraction, their own flavor. Here it is that you can go into the lake.
Yeah. So we are the only lagoon, so to speak, which is, has a floating pool inside the lake, more or less. And then also maybe we, our uniqueness is, well, these infinity floating pools, but also the water, because the water here is the only certified drinkable geothermal water. So, and you can try it out at the tea bar. All guests can try the tea. We have a naturally sourced tea from Mother Earth. They are producers here and close by Egilsstaðir.
In Vatlanes.
Yeah, in Vatlanes, exactly.
In most of Iceland, there are two types of water. They come from different places. Yeah. There's cold water for drinking, which is the best in the world, as mm-hmm. we know, and there's the hot water, which is great for bathing, but is not suitable for drinking. But here, the geothermal water can be drunk.
Yeah, and we use that, and we use that a lot in our marketing material. This is unique.
But that doesn't mean that you should drink when you're in there.
No, preferably not, straight from the baths.
No, okay.
But it is, again, it's that classic experience of being out in the wilds, or at least outdoors, enjoying the nature, enjoying the fresh air, enjoying the cold temperatures, but being nice and warm.
Exactly. And here you can like go between different heat, between the pools, and then you can go and just cool down in the water if you like. So many people are into that thing today.
Yes.
They do this hot and cold therapy, so to speak, and this is kind of unique. You're not going into another pre-made pool, but you go into the lake.
Yes. No, it's one of my favorite things is to, when you go to the municipal pools, mm-hmm. to go into the cold pot after having been in the hot pots. But here it's on a much grander scale. Now, the lake that you can dip into, mm-hmm. you're not going to run into the worm here. You're not going to run into the monster, are you?
No. There are no monsters and no nothing. There's barely a fish, but there is, though. So this is usually quite calm lake. It is nice. I see that our foreign visitors, they love the experience of staying in very hot geothermal pool. And then during the winter, you can just reach out and touch the ice on the lake.
Yes.
That's kind of magnificent.
Yes. Yeah.
Because a lot of visitors who have never been to Iceland, I know this from friends of mine who have been amazed that you even get out of the car when it's snowing and icy, far less jump into a body of water. Yeah. So a lot of people are really surprised by that, aren't they? Not just here, but everywhere, I guess.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And I was on this tourist show 2-3 weeks ago, and we had a pre-tour here, and the people were like a little bit amazed, like, you go into water like no matter what the weather is. And I was like, yeah, you know, if it's like not that kind of weather that they ask you to stay at home, then
yes.
everyone
yeah,
goes.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
And this has been here for 6 years now.
Yeah.
It's grown quite a lot, hasn't it? More and more people are discovering it and finding it.
Yes, definitely. We are kind of maybe settling in a little bit, you know. We are also, I don't know if you noticed that we are kind of hidden in the landscape.
Yes.
So you have to otherwise know about us or be, you know, looking around for signs to tell you where to go, basically. Mm. We are pretty well known in Iceland and among other tourist operators as
yes.
well.
Mm-hmm. And where are people coming from then? Where are they flying from? Where are they sailing from?
Mm-hmm. So our biggest market is the US, Germany, Middle Europe, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
They are our biggest target group.
Yes.
And of course, we are busiest during summer because most of our guests, they land in Keflavík.
Yes.
And it's quite a long way to drive all the way to Egilsstaðir.
Mm.
So, but we are getting more and more people who are maybe have already done the south coast and are now experiencing other places.
Mm.
How important will it be then for you, and I guess for tourism across the east, for Eelstad Airport, which is very close to where we are just now, to start running more international flights? Is that something you've got an eye on?
Yeah, this is something that has been in the discussion here for many years. And I think we are at that place now that we need to start again to advertise and try to get someone in collaboration with us, because it's vital here, because the summer is really good, but we are still struggling a little bit with the winter.
Yes.
So we need more people, and it would be optimal to get them into the country on the east coast.
Yes, because you're only 90 minutes, for example, from the UK, so far east here that there's just less distance to travel. So you could absolutely make a case, couldn't you, for not flying into Keflavik, but flying into Eelstad?
Yeah, definitely. And I see it like that kind of a tourist operation that maybe focuses on people who are experiencing nature, weather, landscape, and maybe are not that much into maybe like cities and that kind of stuff, that, you know, we only have small towns around here, for example.
Yes. You mentioned, and you're right, that this is quite well hidden within the landscape. It's quite well blended. Was that important when you designed the place and when it was constructed for it to get on with its surroundings?
Yeah, it was one of the pillars when starting this project was that it was in good sync with nature and,
yes,
and would not like stick out a lot.
It seems like quite a sustainable operation as well.
Yes, exactly. And we are using like we have grass on the roof, so we are kind of blend more in, and it's we don't have high building, you know, it's really just close to water. It's not very visible from the road, so yeah.
What are the plans then for VUK going forward?
The plans are just to stay nice and like an sought after place. We are maybe not aiming to be sold out all day, every day. We more want it to be like a relaxation.
Yes.
But of course, we welcome more visitors, of course. But yeah, but then there are always some plans, you know, but what I can say now is very limited.
Yes, yeah, okay, well, that sounds quite exciting. But it's an interesting addition, isn't it? You had the Blue Lagoon firstly, which everybody knows about, of course, and which can get very, very busy, of course, because it's so popular. Then you had Mývatn in the north of Iceland. I remember being there when it was much less busy than it is now. And then you had GOC that we mentioned and Húsavík opening up, and you've got Kvamsvík in the west, and over here in the east, we have Vuk as well. So there's a nice, I guess you could say, family of experiences, and they all, to come back to what we said at the start, have a slightly different appeal, don't they?
Yeah, definitely. And also, maybe we are the furthest away from where the tourists come to visit us, but I think it's important for everyone who is into these things, like trying out different lagoons, etc., to get familiar with the uniqueness of each and everyone. And our uniqueness is also maybe that we don't have geothermal heat in the east. We hit I don't know, gold pot, what would you call it? There is a hot water here under the lake, Urðavatn. That's the water we are using here. Otherwise, the east is a cold area.
You still have, for example, the swimming pool in Eelstad, which is warm,
which can
be enjoyed and all the rest of it. But a bit like much of the Westfjords, you don't have the raw geothermal power under the ground, is what you mean.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
When are you open? What are the opening hours?
So during the winter, we're open from 12 till 10 in the evening. But during summer, we're open from 10 in the morning till 11 in the evening.
Okay.
And we are open every day, all day, except if there is bad weather conditions, and that does not happen very often.
Doesn't very often. Yeah. Over Christmas and New Year then, when are you open?
We will be open early on the 24th, from 10 to 3, I think, and on Christmas Day, the 25th, we're open from, I think it's from 2 till 10. Yeah, we're always open.
And on New Year's Day as well?
Yeah, as well.
Yeah, because, I mean, that's a big change as well, isn't it, in recent years? Because if you came, New Year was always possible, but if you came to Iceland during Christmas 20 years ago, nothing was open, was it?
Yeah, exactly. I used to work in a hotel here in the east 20 years back, and I remember, like, I think we were the only hotel or guest house that was open. You couldn't buy food anywhere, the shops were closed. But for us as a community building up a strong tourism operation, we have to have places open so people have something to come and visit.
know. All year round.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for your time today. I'm going to go and have a dip now in the cold lake, as well as the hot pots, I think it's fair to say. Okay. Thanks very much for your time.
Thank you so much.
It's Roof English Radio. My name's Darren Adam, and you can get in touch anytime. We're english@ruv.is.
There is more from Roof English, with all the news from Iceland in English at ruv.is/English. Roof English Radio is a daily English language radio from Iceland's national broadcaster, Roof.